Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Good evening, Father.
As we enter into this Holy Triduum, we are reminded that these 3 days, these three holy ceremonies that we celebrate, are in fact, according to the Church, one liturgy, spaced over 3 days, in which we celebrate the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord. We know is a single mystery, and yet composed of these liturgies, these various parts, the Last Supper, in fact, which we celebrate tonight, tomorrow, the Passion of the Lord, and then Saturday evening, the resurrection. Normally on this day when we remember the Last Supper, the priest would have some volunteers come forward and he would wash their feet, but we're not allowed to do it this year because of COVID. So just imagine that I did it. The reason, of course, is to imitate the humility of the high priest, the chief shepherd of the flock, who taught his first bishops how to care for one another and therefore how to care for the flock, to do it humbly as servants. Here he is at the Last Supper bestowing upon them his own divine powers. It was at the Last Supper that Jesus consecrated them priests and bishops. It was at the Last Supper that he gave them the power to transform, to transubstantiate the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And that power has been handed down bishop to priest for 2,000 years. That's what we celebrate this evening. And because such great power is handed to priests, not just to transform bread and wine in this great miracle that we celebrate, but also for the forgiveness of sins, to perform all of the sacraments, and to be ultimately the head of the church in the person of Christ, because of this great power and authority that was bestowed upon them, he knew, as with all of us, the temptation is to grow in pride and arrogance. And so, when giving them this great gift and setting them in this great role, he gave them the best sign he could of humility. He washed their feet. He is the master and he is the teacher. Of course, he was symbolizing also the spiritual washing. Some of the saints say he had already baptized them. They had already been baptized, so they've received the Holy Spirit. But the washing of the feet symbolized confession for them. Because notice what he said to Peter, "You've already had a bath. I don't need to wash your head as well. But your feet are dirty. Let me clean them." In this we see the great humility of Christ, that he truly has come as a servant. And that's got to be the heart of a priest. If the heart of a priest is not a servant's heart, then he will not be a good priest. He cannot imitate Christ. This is why priests are always ordained to the diaconate before holy orders to the priesthood. Diaconia means servant. That's the first role we share in. And we're never supposed to forget that. To this day, I'm still a deacon. I'm a priest also, but I remain a servant of Christ, a servant of the people. And the power and authority given to me as a priest, and even as your pastor at St. Dorothy's, is meant for your service. And if you ever notice me not being much of a servant, respectfully point it out to me, please. I just ask you to do it respectfully, because if I'm not being very much of a servant, I probably won't listen to you well. You know, during this season of Lent, I have been preaching on the 7 last words of Christ, and I promised you one final sermon, one final homily on them. And I wanted to point out to you what is the most important and significant thing that Jesus said from the cross out of all those 7 statements. They're all necessary, all important, They're all of a piece, in a sense, to give to us the mind of Christ and Christ crucified for our well-being. So take them all to heart, pray and meditate upon each and every one of them. But if you want to know which was the most important statement our Lord made, you won't be at all surprised when I point out to you that it's a chiastic model, right? I preached on this before. So, God loves chiasms because his very divine nature is chiastic, or I should say, he is divine chiasm, and everything in this world, as it's created and designed by God, follows that same model. And I'm not going to go through the whole sermon again of what that is. If you don't know, look it up. But being that there are seven statements of Christ, we can recognize in them parallel images between the first and the last, the second and the second to last, the third and the third to last, and then really the one that's unique among them all is the very middle one, number four, the fourth statement that Christ made on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if you remember the sermon that I gave on this, this is not a cry of despair from the lips of our Lord. Even though he truly experienced rejection from the Father, never once did he believe that he was rejected or alone. Jesus, as a good teacher and rabbi and scholar, quoted from the cross Psalm 22. He quoted the whole psalm. This was a tradition among the rabbis. Instead of reading the whole passage, they would just say the first line and everybody else knew what they meant. It's a long psalm. And I would say it speaks of his priestly heart. He's crying out in agony and expressing to his Father the suffering and the death that he is enduring, while simultaneously giving praise to God and defending the holiness of the Lord. That's what a priest is supposed to do. That's the heart of the priest, really. That even in the midst of suffering and pain, yes, he cries out in that anguish, unjust as it may be, but he never stops praising God. And he never stops teaching the people to praise the Lord. Ultimately, a priest is an intercessor, a mediator between God and man. They are given by God a unique ability to stand between heaven and earth and to take the prayers of the lowly and send them up to heaven, and take the graces of God and distribute them to the lowly. Even in pagan cultures, they recognize this essential truth. Not everyone can be as close to God. And special individuals have always been set apart in every culture, in every religion. It's a unique heresy to think that, oh, I can just go to God on my own. I don't need anybody to do it. Really? What arrogance, what presumption. However many tens of thousands of years humans have been around, pretty much everyone has known that's not how it works. And it's not surprising then that Jesus establishes this, because it's necessary. Why? Because even in a shadowy way, every priest, even pagan ones, are attempting to imitate Jesus Christ. They might not have his power, his ministry, but they understand the basic concept that we need a mediator. We need somebody to stand in the breach. Because we are unworthy, because we are sinners. So we need a holy man, Isn't that what they always call the head shaman, the holy man? The one set apart. And that's always their job. In the Old Testament, this role, held oftentimes by the prophets, of course, always brought with it great suffering, usually because the people wouldn't listen to them, and usually because the people would kill them. So, but their role also, even though they didn't know it at the time, was imitation of Christ, the high priest. This is the very model that we heard in our readings that Jesus himself gave to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, the sacrificing of the lamb. You see, in the Old Law, the priest would offer the lamb on behalf of the people to God. In the New Law, the priest is the lamb. It was always meant to be that way. The priest himself was meant to be the mediating sacrifice. Not to merely offer it, but to offer himself. And that's why if you don't see that to some degree in your priests, you need to be praying more for them. They're doing something wrong. But we have in Psalm 22 the words of Christ, who is clearly in agony, but willing to lay down his life in sacrifice with absolute trust and faith in his Father. Now, as an ordained minister, these are words I need to take to heart personally. But you have to consider something. That every Christian, because of their baptism, participates in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So you have to ask yourself, well, for whom are you priests? You know why I'm a priest. I'm a priest for you. I'm a priest for the priests of God. That's my job. That's my role. That's why I've been given special powers and authority. I'm a priest to the priests. That's how I mediate. And you're able to be priests and stay close to God through my priestly mediation. But for whom are you supposed to mediate? For whom are you priests of God Most High? For whom are you supposed to be suffering and witnessing in faith to God the Father? It's not other Christians. They're baptized. They're priests too. They don't need you. It's to the unbaptized. Did you know that the only hope for the unbaptized for salvation is you? It's not me. It's not my ministry. My job is to help you get to heaven. Your jobs are to help all of the pagans get to heaven. The unbaptized, the unbelievers, to pray and intercede and suffer in your own way for them. Some of them may be family, some of them may be friends or co-workers. But that's what it means to be a priest. And it's a humbling task, and you have to remember what Jesus did here at the Last Supper. In order to keep yourself from pride, you've been given a great dignity and great power, but use it humbly. Use it to serve. And in that, you'll give a real testimony, a real witness to Christ crucified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.